Take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm chapter 11 tonight. Psalm 11. Do we have any more? Do you have a mic? You got one? Go ahead and make the yellow one hot too, guys. I'm going to have you guys help me do a little reading tonight, I think. Shannon and Rob. All right. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. All right, let me get over there. Psalm 11, verse number 7. Psalm 11, verse number 7. The Bible says, let's say it together, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness." Not a little weak. Let's try it again. Let's start over, and let's participate. All right, here we go. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. You know, upright is another word for righteous. So one thing's very clear as we read that verse. God is looking. He was looking. Of course, this is written in the Old Testament economy, the book of Psalms. But God is looking here for a righteous person. It says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold," look, "at the upright." Right. So God is looking for righteous people. And when God finds a righteous person, that verse teaches us that God really takes notice of that. Do y'all believe God notices when we do the right thing? You think so? I think you're going to see by the end of this lesson, absolutely, that's correct, that the righteous Lord, he loves righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright, the one who does. You say, well, what does it mean to be right? And by the way, I'll read you another good cross-reference there. 1 Peter 3:12 in the New Testament says this, and you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote it for you. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer." Real quick, run to Psalm 1. We're going to look at a lot of verses here in Psalm. We're going to look at a lot of verses tonight, period. But I want you to go to Psalm 1. Again, a good cross-reference with this. Look at Psalm 1, and let's look at verse number 6. Psalm 1, verse 6. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." That's another way of saying he notices. He knows right where they are. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now, what does it mean to be righteous? Can somebody tell me? Hey, take a guess. What do you think it means to be righteous? Yeah, what is righteousness? Think about that. Righteousness. What is the word that's contained in the word righteousness, church? Right. So righteousness literally means doing right. Doing right in action and doing right in character. So we could say that righteousness is, definition, ready? Righteousness is right actions proceeding from the right character. Right actions proceeding from the right character. It's not just right actions, because you can let me ask you something. Do you think that it's right to go to church on Sunday? But can you do it with a wrong heart? Yeah. Do you think it's right to read your Bible? But can you do it for the wrong reasons? Yes. So righteousness is beyond just doing right. Righteousness is when you're doing right, but you're doing right because it's proceeding from righteous character. So the question then is this. Well, what are right actions? If righteousness is right actions that proceed from right character, then what are right actions? Well, you know, the world would tell you that there's no way to distinguish between right and wrong actions. They say that right and wrong is relative. They say that right is whatever feels right to you. By the way, that is humanism. Okay, that's humanism, pure and simple. And by the way, that is what's wrong with society today, is that when every person does that which is right in their own eyes, we know from reading the Bible, the recipe for that is chaos and confusion. So the world, you know, has this attitude, well, whatever's right for you is right, you know. As Christians, how do we define righteousness, though? Why don't you go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're gonna flip over there and look at a couple of verses there in Psalm 119. And could you bring me up just a little bit in the A monitors? I still call them A's. I don't know what we call them now. What do we call them? Stage? Okay, stage monitors. Psalm 119. And let's look at verse number 172. 172. Shannon, you got your mic? Why don't you read that verse for us, Brother Shannon? Read verse 172.
My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness.
Bingo. All right. My tongue shall speak of thy what? Word. Okay, right? We know what that is. And then he says, for, why? In other words, let me explain to you why my tongue is going to speak his word. Here's why. Because all of your commandments, God, all of God's commandments are, say it with me, what? Righteousness. All of God's commandments are righteousness. We're talking about how to define righteousness right now. All of his commandments, his word is righteousness. Go to verse 128. Flip over there. Verse number one. Rob, you want to read that one for me? Verse 128. Go ahead.
Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way.
Did you hear that? The psalmist says to God, God, I esteem, in other words, I value, I am counting this as true, that all of your precepts, another word for commandments, all of your precepts, all of God's commandments and God's principles and what God says, he says, I'm esteeming all those concerning all things to be right. To be right. Would y'all agree with me based on that verse? Whatever God says to do is righteous. Amen? Whatever God says is the right thing to do is the right thing to do. All right? It's real simple here. You know, I think about that verse in Luke 1:6. It's about John the Baptist's parents. Remember Zacharias and Elizabeth? And it says they were both righteous before God. We're talking about righteousness. Why were they righteous before God? It says, here's how it describes them. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So, listen to this. Paul wrote in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So let's make it very clear that righteousness is simply obeying God's commandments. It is obeying God's principles, his precepts, whatever you want to call it, with the right character, the right heart. And so for the Christian, righteousness is right actions that proceed from right character, and it's in accordance with God's holy standard. It's not in accordance with my standard. It's not in accordance with Pastor Rob's standard. It's not in accordance with the church's standard. It's not in accordance with the world's standard. Righteousness for a Christian is you are doing right actions in accordance with God's holy standard. Well, but you know, the Supreme Court legalized this, and they said this is okay, and this is right, and this is wrong. The Supreme Court doesn't decide what's right and wrong. God decides what's right and wrong. So just get that straight in your thinking. All right? Get that straight. The Supreme Court and all, they don't decide what's right and wrong. It's God that decides what's right and wrong. You need to understand that. You need to get a hold of that thing. This matter of righteousness is absolutely critical in the Christian life. I want you to go to Psalm 106, verse 3. Psalm 106. And Shannon, if you could grab Psalm 146:8, that'll save us a little time. Everybody else go to Psalm 106. Rob, grab Psalm 18:20. All right, look at this. Psalm 106, verse 3. Righteousness, it's a critical issue. Look at verse number 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at what? All times. Shannon, read your verse. Go ahead. He's going to read Psalm 146:8.
The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous.
Loveth the righteous. Go ahead, Rob, and read, what did I give you, 18:20?
Psalm 18:20.
Go ahead.
The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me.
So according to, notice that righteousness was such a key issue. Go to Psalm 112 real quick. Psalm 112, you're right there. Psalm 112. Shannon, grab Psalm 45:7. All right, everybody else go to Psalm 112 and look at verse 2. Psalm 112, verse 2. It says, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Go ahead and read yours, Shannon.
Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
You know what? It really doesn't matter what the world's doing, guys. Let me tell you something tonight, church. Here's what matters. God Almighty expects us as believers to live a righteous life in an unrighteous world. God expects that. Now I'm going to explain to you why. And God, the first reason why God expects us to do the right thing is because God has enabled us to do the right thing. God can expect it because God has enabled us to do it. God's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. Right. Now, would you guys agree with me tonight that God's nature is one of righteousness? Can I get an amen? Amen? His nature is one of righteousness. In other words, you know, it's something that comes natural to God. It's something that just automatically he does. His very nature is righteous. Our righteousness is always defined by God's righteousness. God is the measuring stick. God's character is the definition and is the source of all righteousness. Paul wrote this in Romans 9:14. He said, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He cannot be unrighteous. God cannot do the wrong thing. God can only do the right thing. I love this verse. It's in the Old Testament law, but it's a great verse about the character of God. Listen to this. It's Deuteronomy 32:4. Just listen. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Isn't that a great verse? That is a great verse. That God is a God of truth. He's without iniquity. He cannot sin. Just and right is he. God always does the right thing. His nature is one of righteousness. That's why it is ludicrous for a Christian to ever bring a railing accusation at God and act like God hasn't treated him fair or God's been unrighteous. That is something that a pagan person would think. We should never, ever, ever bring a railing accusation against God. We should know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I don't care if the sky falls, God always does what's right. And you don't ever have to worry that God may have just slighted you or done you dirty or did you wrong. God wasn't fair with you. Put that out of your mind. Just and right is he. He always does right. He cannot do wrong. He cannot do wrong. Psalm 48:10 says, in fact, go ahead and turn there real quick. We'll look at it. You probably need to see this. Psalm 48, look at verse 10. Psalm 48. Verse 10, Psalm 48:10. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. I like that. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. He says, thy right hand is full of what? Righteousness. Look at Psalm 71. Flip over there. Psalm 71. And look at verse 19. Psalm 71, 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Go to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Let's flip over there. Man, this is great. These verses are so rich. Look at Psalm 97, verse number 2. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And let's go to verse 137. Psalm 119, 137. All right, look at that with me. Psalm 119, 137 says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Hey, listen, you may look at me and say, Pastor Dan, boy, you missed that one. Man, you made a bad call. Well, Pastor Shannon, you know, you made a bad call on that one. Boy, you messed up there. And you know what? You say that about me, and you might be right. I want you to know something, though. You say that about God, and you're wrong. Because God always does right. God doesn't mess up. God doesn't make bad calls. God doesn't make bad judgments. The Bible says very, very clearly there, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. God's nature is one of righteousness. Our nature is one of unrighteousness. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. The Bible tells us it gives a very vivid description of mankind. I'm just going to, for time's sake, I'll just read it to you real quickly. It says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Our nature is one of unrighteousness. It goes back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created innocent, not righteous. They were innocent. And they didn't know evil. They were created innocent. And they had a choice to make. And they could either choose to do right, righteously, you know, do the right thing and obey God, or they could choose to do wrong and be unrighteous and not do the right thing. And they were created innocent, and they became sinners because they chose the wrong thing. They did not do what was right. And when that happened and they made that choice to do wrong and not to do right, now all of a sudden, instead of their nature being one of innocence, now their nature became one of unrighteousness. And then they had children and they passed that unrighteous nature onto their children. And then their children passed it on to their children, and their children passed it on to their children. And then you and I came along and the exact same thing. Is that we have an unrighteous nature. We have inherited an unrighteous nature from our parents. No offense, Mom. I love you. But I got it from you, all right? And Dad. And, you know, the nature of people is one of unrighteousness. Now, the world, they don't know Christ. And the world out there that's in Satan's world system, their nature is one of unrighteousness, but oh, they will talk a high and mighty talk. They'll try to act like that their unrighteousness is not unrighteousness. And I think about that passage in Isaiah where he rebuked Israel. He said, you call good evil and you call evil good. That's how unrighteous people's nature are. Is he says you call good evil and you call evil good. Would you all agree that's the world that we live in today? Here's the key though. God's nature is righteous. Our nature is unrighteous. Here's the key. When you got saved, and I hope you're saved tonight. I hope you're saved tonight. Amen. When you got saved, something wonderful happened. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the righteous God came to live and dwell inside of you. And the Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. God's righteous nature is implanted within us. For God, remember, God made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, right? He was righteous. He did the right thing every time, Jesus did. And he said that God allowed him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. So now, we can live righteously. We can live a righteous life. We can obey God's commandments. We can keep ourselves pure. We can be honest at work. We can control our tongues. We can love our neighbor. We can judge between right and wrong. Teenagers, you can love and honor and respect your parents. You can be true to your marriage vows. You can do these things now. You can choose to do the right thing. Why? Because now that I'm saved, God's righteous nature dwells inside of me. Not only can I live a righteous life, God expects me to live a righteous life. Trying to decide whether to tell you to keep a bookmarker in Psalm. Actually, you don't need to. I want you to go to the New Testament, to one of Paul's writings. I want you to go to Titus, right after 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Everybody knows where 1 Timothy is because of Sunday morning, right? We've been in 1 Timothy for a while. And so if you can find 1 Timothy, go to 2 Timothy, then Titus. And I want you to go to chapter number 2, Titus chapter number 2. God expects us to live a righteous life. Look at Titus 2. And let's begin reading in verse 11, Titus 2:11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth," notice, "salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us," he's writing to Christians, he's brought salvation to us, teaching us. Salvation teaches you something. What does it teach you? Listen, the very nature of salvation means that Christ's nature now has come to be inside of you, live inside of you. And when you get saved, it teaches you something. Look at it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. And what is that next word? That's what we're talking about. Soberly, righteously, and godly, where? Can you do the right thing in an unrighteous world? Can you? According to that verse, yes. And God expects me to do it. His salvation that he gives me teaches me to do it. Let me just submit to you. Before you got saved, you may have wanted to do right, but you did wrong. And even when you did right before you were saved, it just led to another sin. You know, you're like, you know, well, you know, before you got saved, you're like, yeah, I overcame drinking. And now what happens? Now you get prideful. You just traded one sin for another. You know, now you're prideful about it. Man, look what I did. I gave up drinking, you know. You know, one sin just leads to another sin. And before you get saved, it's like just unrighteousness is part of your nature. And it's part of you. And man, you do the wrong thing. But let me tell you this. After you get saved and you get the nature of God inside of you and you get the nature of Jesus Christ inside of you, no longer do you have to do wrong. We do wrong after we get saved because we want to do wrong. Just throw that out there. Teenagers, you do wrong because you want to do wrong. You do wrong because you choose to do wrong. Isn't that what you teach them in Freedom Found? That's what you teach them, right? Once you get saved, you got something inside of you. You're not a slave anymore to sin. You know what I mean? Before you got saved, you were a slave to sin. You had to sin. You had no choice but to sin. You had no way to overcome it, no way to combat it, no way to deal with it. Before you were saved, the Bible says you were a servant to unrighteousness. After you get saved, you're set free. No longer are you a servant. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He says, no, you know what? Now, after you're saved, let's just look in the mirror, man up, and admit it. We do wrong because we want to do wrong, not because we don't have the power to do right. So, what have we looked at? Well, we looked at that. Why is this thing of righteousness so important? Well, number one, because God's enabled us to live a righteous life. But number two, God uses righteous people. In every age, in every time period, in every dispensation in your Bible, God has been looking for a person who will just obey his commands and live a righteous life. That, you know, and it's not just the church age today that we're talking about. The basis of man, now this is important to get. The basis of man's righteousness before God has changed throughout history. And that's because his commands have changed. God has gradually been revealing more and more of himself to mankind as you study in the Bible. And we looked at this on Wednesday night. You know that Abraham knew more than Adam. You know, as far as God's expectations and his righteous commands, and then Moses knew more than Abraham. And, you know, we went through that. God is progressively revealing himself. And so his commands will change from dispensation to dispensation. But the principle, and this is what I want you to get, the principle of righteousness is seen throughout the entire Bible from beginning to end. For example, some people believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And isn't it interesting? That means Job had no written word. So all he would have had was whatever verbal word that he got from God and whatever verbal word of God of his commandments had been handed down to him. And yet the Bible says this. You remember God said to Satan? He said, hey, have you noticed my servant Job? I don't know if Satan did, but God did, didn't he? God noticed him. Have you noticed my servant Job? He said, there is none like him. God said he is an upright man. He's one that feareth God and escheweth. He resists evil. God noticed Job. He made special notice of this righteous man. A man who was upright. He did the right thing. I think about Genesis 7:1. And in Genesis 7:1, it says about Noah, God said, listen to what God told Noah. He said, you know, I want you to get your family, I want you to get in the ark. And then he says to Noah this. He says, you, I have seen righteous before me in this generation. You, I have seen righteous before me in this generation. You know, I think sometimes we really get a disconnect with God. We really think that God doesn't notice what we're doing. We really think it doesn't matter to God. We really think that there's this disconnect. God's busy with other stuff, and he certainly isn't noticing what I'm doing. And I want you to see that's not true. You had multitudes of people on the earth at that time, and God looks down from heaven, and he notices a man by the name of Noah. This was an ungodly time. There was no written word of God at that time. It was before Israel. Yet Noah lived a righteous life, and God rewarded him. How about Abraham in Genesis 15? The Bible says that God said, Abraham, look up. See those stars? You can't count them, can you? No, God. I'm going to make your seed like those stars. And then the next verse says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15. Here you got a guy, again, no written word, and he believes God, and it's counted to him for righteousness. You know, you got your Bible. Go to 1 Timothy 6 real quick. 1 Timothy 6, and look at the church age here. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Here we are now, and God's writing to church age saints, you and I. And in 1 Timothy 6, 11, notice the admonition. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after, what are we to follow after, church? Righteousness. And then he says, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse 22. He says to Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow, say it with me, righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God told Israel, you know, it's interesting in the Old Testament when you have the list, you know, all the stories of Israel's kings. A lot of times God would just summarize their entire rule and reign. He would just summarize it, and he would say the king's name, and he would say he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He just summarized the guy's reign, and he'd say he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then other guys, he'd summarize the king's reign and say he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord. God made it very clear to Israel that they were to do the right thing, follow after righteousness. You see, I could go through and show you in every time period in the Bible this issue of righteousness, even in the kingdom when Christ comes back. Real quick, Shannon, grab Jeremiah 33 real quick. Jeremiah 33, and read for us verses 15 and 16. Jeremiah 33, listen to this. Even in the kingdom, now you know what I'm talking about, right? Christ is going to come back down to the earth. He's going to rule and reign over the earth, correct? He's going to come down, rule and reign over this earth. And the kingdom's going to come. Israel's going to rule and reign and be that channel that he's going to use, Israel, to bring his kingdom to the earth. And notice verses 15 and 16. Even in the kingdom, righteousness is still that issue. Look at it with me. Go ahead, verses 15 and 16.
In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called.
Listen to this. This is the name.
The Lord our righteousness.
That's his name he'll be called, the Lord our righteousness. God has had different commands for different people in different time periods throughout history. But in every age, God's looking for men and women who will just simply, by faith, obey his commands and do what is right. God has a history of using, not perfect people, but righteous people. People who truly desire to do the right thing. And then there's one final thought I want to give you. And that's, you know why we need to live righteously in an unrighteous world? Because anyone can do it. I said anyone can do it. Nobody is excluded from the call. It is the duty and the privilege of every believer to study the Word of God, study His commands, follow after righteousness, and live a righteous life. We read it in Titus chapter 2. He said the salvation that He brings teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Paul wrote in Romans 6:13. He said, don't yield your members, your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. He said, and yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Anybody can do it. We as spirit-indwelt believers, we don't need any special talent. You don't have to have any special talent or equipment to obey God and to do the right thing. God has given every one of us everything we need to live a righteous life. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that of God we are in Him, we are in Christ, and Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ has been imputed to you. He lives in you. And the same Christ that lives in me lives in you. The same Christ that lives in me lives in my son over here. The same Christ that lives in me lives in you. It doesn't, like I said, it's not, you know, the most ordinary Christian has everything they need to live a Christian life and to do the right thing. On the other hand, let's go the other way with it. The most talented Christian has to use the same means in the practice of righteousness as the most non-talented Christian, and that is we have to yield ourselves to Christ in us and let His righteousness live through us. It is not a spiritual gift. It is a choice that every Christian makes. Righteousness doesn't come from being talented. Righteousness doesn't come from being personable. Righteousness doesn't come from being busy in the Lord's work. Righteousness doesn't come by being successful in some area of Christian service or Christian ministry. There are a lot of successful pastors, and you know what I mean. I'm kind of using that tongue in cheek. The world thinks, oh, he's a successful pastor. And there are a lot of successful pastors, lots of successful teachers of the Bible, lots of successful Bible college students, lots of successful singers that aren't very righteous. And they're not pleasing to God. And just because they get up and sing beautifully for the Lord, that's not righteousness. Just because you can get up and teach a great lesson and wow everybody with your eloquence, that doesn't mean you're righteous. A righteous life begins with a total devotion to God and a deep desire to want to do things God's way. Teenagers, the world's going to tell you, you do it your way. There is a way that seems right unto a man. We're talking about righteousness, right? Doing the right thing, proceeding from right character. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So Satan's going to have a way for you. And the world's going to pat you on the back and say, oh, it's fine. If that's right for you, then it's right. And there's a way that seems right, but there's consequences. Like I said this morning, you got to live with the consequences, right? It may not be fun, and it may not be easy. It may not be profitable, may not even be enjoyable to follow God's commands and to obey Him. But it's the right thing to do. And therefore, by faith, we obey. And we do it. And we choose to walk by faith or we walk by sight. I either believe what God says or I believe what my feelings tell me. I believe what God says or I believe what the world tells me. I believe what God says or I believe what my eyes tell me. I hope tonight that we'll decide we're going to choose to believe what God has said is right. You can live righteous. God's enabled you. He's given you, you've got everything you need. And God's got a history of using righteous people in a mighty way. And God expects it. It's a divine calling.